The ones that are furthest along are maybe not the ones you would expect to see in the industry. And I think that just kind of plays to, you know, you've got these layers and layers of legacy technology that's built up on these, you know, these massive companies. And for them to, you know, essentially turn the cruise ship, it takes a lot.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast dedicated to insurance innovation. You know, so this has been a really interesting month of October where there's been several announcements of fintechs that are getting into the insurtech space, you know, from Credit Karma that's getting into the insurance space, as well as LendingTree that announced a little bit earlier this month that they were also partnering or buying an insurance organization to provide access to all lines insurance policies. So, you know, I absolutely think that this space is starting to see a lot of great activity. And I'm just wondering, you know, what that's going to mean for the long term, especially as these organizations that are really data-driven organizations leverage their capabilities to provide access to policies across the spectrum of insurance. You know, so that's something that we're seeing that's happening in this space that's really exciting, you know, not only on the acquisition side, but also on the distribution side as well. And we have a really great conversation that's going to be coming up today with Talage and Adam Kiefer. You know, so before we jump into the discussion, I just want to recognize the sponsor of this episode of the podcast, and that's Vortex Legal. Innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. Their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal's solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954-473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com. So today I'm speaking with Adam Kiefer, the CEO of Talage, an insurtech redefining the distribution channel for small business insurance. Adam, it's great to have you here on the podcast. Welcome.
Abel, thanks for having me. It's really excited to be here.
Hey, so, you know, Adam, you have a history working in both banking and insurance. So, you know, before we talk about what you're doing today, you know, just tell us a little bit about your history prior to co-founding Talage.
Yeah, I mean, I like to say I kind of grew up in the insurance industry professionally anyway. I, right after college, got on board with a regional insurance agency that was actually acquired by Wells Fargo Insurance. So really got to kind of see how a successful smaller agency was run. And then, you know, really got to see how one of the big boys and all the things that they do really well and some of the areas where they, you know, they lack a little bit, which I think is actually kind of where the original seeds for Talage were actually planted way back then. But yeah, worked for the agency, always on the small business, commercially focused side of it, and then moved up the distribution channel, worked for Employers Insurance, monoline workers' compensation carrier based out of Nevada. And again, on that end, really worked with the insurance agencies in the field, first as a territory rep, then as a sales manager, kind of running their entire West Coast operation for their agency channel. And so really got to see, you know, firsthand how small business affected these insurance agencies and how the small businesses were themselves affected by it, and really where the carrier and the agency piece kind of overlapped and how that whole thing interacted. And so really spent my entire career, like you said, is in the small business space, spent a little bit of time on the banking end, you know, working in small business financing and really got to see how, you know, insurance is a major line item for, you know, most of these Main Street mom and pop insurance, small businesses.
Absolutely. So Adam, you know, so now, you know, you recently co-founded Talage. So if you don't mind, you know, just talk to me about what exactly is Talage's value proposition and what problem are you solving?
Yeah, and so Talage is a digital marketplace for small business insurance. So we're exclusively focused on the small business space. And I think, you know, we're a little different than some of the other guys out there is the way that Talage has approached this from the very beginning is I think the pain point for a small business owner is more obvious. I think we can all see that in our day-to-day life. We all use Amazon. We all use, you know, Progressive. We all use Kayak. We all use all these different things. in our own lives. And so I think when you see that small businesses have to use such a manual process to buy insurance, it's relatively obvious. But what I think is actually less obvious and potentially more valuable is that TALA has recognized that it's really hard for insurance carriers to sell small business insurance. It's always good to talk to somebody who's been in an industry like you are, and you really understand kind of how the flow worked, right? I mean, you have the carriers who, you know, have put new emphasis on small business, you know, predictive analytics, you know, different things that they're doing from an automated underwriting standpoint, but then they're funneling it down to a distribution channel, essentially, that is more focused on the mid-market. And so what we wanted to do was build Talage to be a better agency, not only for small businesses, but specifically a better agency for small business insurance carriers.
So would you all consider Talage to be an insurance carrier or, you know, a technology platform, or on the agency side, you know, how would you position your organization?
Yeah, we're not a carrier. We don't want to be a carrier. So I'll get the easy part of that question out of the way. We think carriers are great at what they do. You know, carriers have been doing this for, you know, in many cases, more than 100 years. They've got that underwriting piece dialed in. Where we think they need help is distribution. And so Talage is a software. We also have an insurance agency component to that that allows us to sell directly to small businesses. But it's kind of a combination of a software and an agency play that we allow businesses to allow carriers, to distribute their product more efficiently.
So just thinking about the value proposition around what you all have designed through the software component of your platform, you know, what lines of businesses do you guys write through it? Is it all lines of business in the small commercial space, or are you starting with one and then ramping up slowly over time?
Definitely. So we started with one. We started with workers' compensation, which I think is a good one to start with for a lot of reasons. A, you know, me professionally was one that I had a lot of comfort with, spending my time, you know, on the agency side and specifically working with a monoline workers' compensation carrier. Really understood the line of coverage, kind of the intricacies of it. And then on its surface, it's a relatively, you know, listen to the podcast before, you've had a couple other speakers come on and talk about this, where workers' comp's relatively easy coverage to calculate from a premium standpoint, right? It's rates, it's payroll, some debits and credits, and that's kind of it. And so it's relatively simple from a user standpoint in terms of gathering the data that we needed to launch with workers' comp. We have just recently, in the last couple months, launched a BOP product. So we're also selling BOP. And then our vision is to really give small business owners that package of product, to be able to give them a BOP and a workers' compensation policy or some kind of general liability property policy combined, where they can kind of get that core package of business done, get them back to work, and then Talage is able to essentially add on other products like E&O, things like that. But we really want to focus on that core package of workers' comp, general liability, and property.
So now, just given the fact that, you know, you all are solving, at least through technology, a part of the distribution and the customer acquisition, you know, there's definitely a host of other organizations or insurtechs out there that are also looking to solve distribution, you know, so or customer acquisition, I guess, is how I would position that. Right. So, you know, just thinking about how there are others out there that are doing similar, you know, are you also looking to design yourselves, or at least provide a value proposition that goes beyond the customer acquisition and potentially making Talage the home for where small businesses come for a multitude of different things?
Definitely. I mean, you know, longer term, I mean, you know, first, insurance is kind of funny, right? I mean, everyone in the insurance industry, I think, is always talking about this moonshot. And we always kind of joke that insurance is not ready for that moonshot. We can barely fly across the coast, right? So I think there's steps in terms of getting to these moonshots where you can be a one-stop shop for complete small business insurance and even beyond insurance, to be honest with you. You know, one-stop shop for businesses. But, you know, early on, we spent a lot of time on the product. It was important to us. I think, you know, there are definitely competitors out there in the broad sense of the word that got to market a little faster than we did, I would say. But we spent a lot of time, or at least, you know, publicly getting to market. But we spent a lot of time on the product, making sure that we had a product that worked. We kind of stayed, I don't want to say stealth mode because it wasn't quite stealth mode, but we tried to stay under the radar as much as we could for as long as we could, being able to bring a product to market that we thought really brought real value and just didn't create a call center experience, you know, a better call center experience. And so Talage really spent a lot of time on the product, got to a point where where business owners can actually go through, complete the entire purchase and buy a policy without talking to anybody. And that's, you know, that was our main goal, was to just essentially make it easier for small businesses to buy insurance. And so long term, I think there's definitely a lot of areas where we can partner with different financial institutions, other financial technology companies, where we can create an ecosystem for small businesses to complete their entire transactions, run their entire business.
You know, so just I want to go back to something that you mentioned about having the ability for a customer to go into your platform and really just quote and bind and get their coverage without having to speak to people. Now, just knowing that you all are engaging with other insurance organizations throughout the industry, I just could imagine that working that with those organizations and creating that capability could become fairly challenging, you know, given the fact that a lot of these carriers are built upon legacy technology. You know, so Adam, if you don't mind, just talk to me a little bit about the challenges that you're facing as you onboard carriers, and then how you're getting over some of those challenges that may be due to legacy tech.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. We kind of joke. So our core team, when we first brought our chief technology officer on, Zachary Draper, was actually not from the insurance industry, you know, a developer for his entire life. And then we brought him on and we, you know, kind of pitched the idea of what we were trying to accomplish. And he told us, oh yeah, that should take about 2 months. Sounds easy. and then we actually got into the integrations, and obviously it's taken a lot longer than we, you know, that he thought it was going to take. I think, you know, things like APIs that, you know, is kind of the buzzword of today in the insurance world, is really, I mean, in and of itself, you know, a 10-year-old technology, right? I mean, so the fact that insurance is just latching onto something like that today, I think speaks to some of the challenge that you have when you are integrating with these guys. And, you know, we've done things like screen scraping. We're obviously moving towards APIs at this point. Most everybody is either developing them or you know, has early stage, you know, development of them. And so that's our focus as we integrate with these guys. But even that, you have a lot of issues with the APIs in terms of, a lot of times Salage has been the very first person to integrate with an API. And so we've gotten the documentation, and Zachary has essentially rewritten it for some of our partners, which is just a value add of working with Salage, I guess. But we, you know, we've got enough under our belt at this point that we think we've, you know, we knock on wood, of course, but we think we've seen it all, and we're ready to see what's out there. But the carriers are starting to, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk. And so we're excited about the, you know, the innovations that they're doing on their end in terms of APIs. But as you mentioned, I mean, with the legacy system, sometimes you have the underwriting system doesn't always talk to the policy issuance system, doesn't talk to the claim system. And so there are hangups even, you know, when we do have full support of our partners, just in terms of limitations of what we can do today and how we work around them.
Yeah, I just have to, you know, when I've been in the industry for quite some time myself, and you know, as I engage with carriers, even some of the carriers that I've worked with, you know, most of them don't have the capability to consume APIs. So I could just imagine that as you're working with them, that you're building that capability for the carriers in order to do business with you. And it's just going to make it so much easier and much more streamlined to engage with those carriers. You know, I look at where a lot of the insurtech organizations are like yourselves, and you all are building on top of newer technology stacks and using newer technology protocols, that when you start to look at the spectrum of all of the different carriers within this industry, there are some that are at the point where they can consume these newer technologies, and there are others in which it feels as if, you know, they're not going to have the ability to do that, and it can take a very long time in order to be able to, for them to stand up that particular capability. So, you know, just thinking.
It's interesting too, on your point, with the carriers, I think it's been interesting to kind of see it. The ones that are furthest along are maybe not the ones you would expect to see in the industry. And I think that just kind of plays to, you know, you've got these layers and layers of legacy technology that's built up on these, you know, these massive companies, and for them to, you know, essentially turn the cruise ship, it takes a lot. And so I think, you know, those top, you know, five carriers aren't necessarily the ones with the greatest technology, because they have also have the most reliance on those old technologies. And so we're starting to see, you know, some of the, you know, the super regionals, and even, you know, kind of the, you know, 10 to 20 you know, rankings in terms of premium threshold, those guys are actually, I think, maybe have the biggest opportunity to make an impact with technology as a whole in the industry.
Yeah, you know, and I think so they have the ability to make the biggest impact, but I also think they get the biggest value out of it, especially as they're looking at premiums, to your point, in that range, you know, that's typically indicative of a small commercial segment in which a lot of those policyholders are looking to be able to quickly have the ability to quote, bind, get an issuance of their policy, and that speed is what creates that level of competitiveness that's needed. You know, sometimes it may not be the amount of what something costs. It could be the ability just to get the coverage in a timely manner. You know, so, you know, I definitely think what you all are doing is very valuable, especially to your point in that segment where, you know, they already have or they're building that capability to consume this technology. Now, just thinking about a couple of months ago, you know, you all closed on your $1.5 million seed round. Now, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, what's the aim and are you all planning on expanding the carriers that you work with or the states that you're in? You know, what's the expectation for the future of Talage, given that you're now raising funds to help bring this organization forward?
Yep. Yeah. And that, closing the seed round was huge for us. I mean, Talage officially has existed for 3 years in name. And honestly, we didn't do a lot for the first year. It was kind of, you know, talking to insurance carriers, seeing what kind of opportunity was out there, figuring out where we could, you know, bring real value. The product itself has been live for about 16 months or so in terms of our beta actually turning on to the public. But in terms of our expansion, as soon as we closed, we immediately started rolling out to all 50 states. And so we are in 50 states plus DC as of today. So really excited about the progress we made on that one. That's harder than you would think it would be. A lot of paperwork dealing with, you know, 51 essentially different insurance regulatory bodies, but worked through the process and the bureaucratic systems on that. It's amazing some of the states, not to pick on them, but I think Missouri only deals in paper. So we had to mail them applications and receive them back and mail in. I mean, so just the process in terms of dealing with some of those things was a lot of fun. But yeah, in terms of us, you know, our expansion, you know, we're probably never going to be a shop that has 100 carriers on our platform. We feel that to bring value to both the carriers and to the small businesses that we serve, we don't do anybody any favors by showing 20 different options. What we want to show is we pulled out a McKinsey study last year. I think it was 3.4 quotes is kind of the number that small businesses are looking for where they feel like they've done their due diligence. And so 3.4, we jokingly say that we want to give all of our customers 3.4 quotes in the one terms of them hitting the Talage digital marketplace. And so that's our goal. We don't want to have, you know, 30 carriers on the platform. I think we want to have a dozen, maybe 15. Just to kind of close some geographic gaps or different things like that. But we don't want to be 100 carriers on the platform. We do want to be in all 50 states. And like I said, we're there now. Worked hard to get that done. But yeah, find carriers that we can partner with. I mean, that's something I think that, you know, my experience on the insurance agency and carrier side was in the traditional insurance world, brick and mortar insurance agencies, you go to an insurance shop and they've got, you know, 55 plaques on the wall, and they never had any real kind of credibility with any of those partners. But you go to a different shop that maybe has 15, 20 carriers, and they've got a couple $1 million in premium with each one of them, and it gives them more clout. It gives them more of a relationship with those carriers. And so insurance will always be a relationship industry, we have no doubt. But so we want to be able to keep that with our carrier partners.
Yeah, I think to your point, you know, there's a lot of people that talk about InsurTech and the changes that InsurTech organizations are impacting in this industry. And, you know, to the point that you made, I agree 100% that while technology is coming in and while it's helping a lot of these organizations as well as legacy carriers to transform the way that they do business, I believe that it's still going to be built upon relationships, because that's going to be important, you know, with the carrier agency relationship as well as with the technology provider and the carrier, the agency, you know, you name it, just across the spectrum. You know, so I absolutely believe that that's going to be something that continues forward. And there's going to need to be that trust that's not only being built between the technology provider and the carrier, but also with the newer InsurTech agencies as well as their policyholders and their partners. Now, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you're never going to be an organization that has 100 carriers because of that. And, you know, something that I found, you know, throughout history is that when a lot of policyholders even come onto platforms like yours to quote, If a quote comes back really quickly, they don't have a deep level of or a deep sense of trust that that's one that's solid, that's going to give them what they need. You know, so as you all were defining specifically how to build your platform, how to roll it out, were you coming across things like that where you had to make sure that you tweaked or laid out, you know, how you were offering your product to ensure that it met the needs of your policyholders? And what are some examples of that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's something we deal with. We have a weekly meeting. It's kind of our postmortem where we literally, you know, we have obviously have software tools where we can kind of it's not as creepy as the sound, but we can record users' experience on our website, right? And so we get the marketing team, we get the tech team, we get the customer service team in the same room, and we literally sit and watch a handful of users use the system and understand obviously where they get hangups in the UX. But obviously if they, you know, they're presented with quotes, are they shown in a way that it seems like they trust them, right? And so one thing we've done is we only work with AM Best A-rated carriers. That was kind of a no-brainer for me with my insurance industry experience. That was just not something we were going to compromise on. And so we have kind of set a floor level for our carrier partners. There's no B-rated carriers on the system. We're not going down that path. I think it's important to present them with a product that they can trust and that they know they're going to be covered in the event of, you know, God forbid they actually have a claim. In terms of, you know, other things we do, I think we try to, you know, make sure that you understand what kind of limits you're getting. I think that's really important in terms of, you know, in workers' compensation, which is what we had the most experience with. You know, you have essentially your statutory limits, and then you have your $1 million employment practices, you know, limits on there, and so our employment liability limits on there, excuse me. And so we've standardized those, and currently Talage is only offering $1 million limits on that. We've taken that position where we think it's better for the customers. The price increase is negligible. And so we do some things on that end, on the back end, where we're not throwing it in the insurers or the business owner's face. But we are doing things to help protect them and give them a greater sense of confidence in the product that they're buying.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, so I just want to switch gears a little bit and talk about InsurTech. Now, you know, so in InsurTech, it's been something that's really started to take up just in regards to what a lot of these newer organizations, you know, how they're transforming the industry. While it's been around for quite some time, you know, it's been something that's starting to take off more intently, more recently over the past couple of years or so. You know, so, you know, I would say it's been a topic for several years, but from your perspective, just in engaging with these, you know, A-rated carriers that you all deal with, you know, how are some of these traditional insurance carriers and brokers responding to the changes in either technology or business model innovations? And then, you know, as you all define or design your platform through that engagement with them, you know, how are they actually working on innovating some of those innovations?
Yeah, it's obviously a hot topic. I think you're right. I think, you know, companies, you know, like Lemonade, probably they're the biggest one in terms of the PR. Their PR team is incredible. So hats off to them. But I think, you know, the CEOs and executives at these insurance companies that we're dealing with, they all know Lemonade, right? So it's like, oh, are you Lemonade? And it's like, no. I mean, a lot of them don't really understand what Lemonade's doing exactly. But Lemonade has been great, I think, for the industry because it's exposed the industry as a whole to what Lemonade is doing. And I think it's also, you know, for companies like ours that, you know, are venture backed, I think it's exposed the VC community to insure tech and some of the possibilities that are out there. Obviously, our model, it looks nothing like Lemonade's model after you dig into it about for 13 seconds. But yes, we do have a website and they have a website. That's probably about as far as it goes. But yeah, I mean, they're excited about it. I think some of these guys are still a little unsure in terms of what insure tech looks like and where we kind of fit into not only us, but I think kind of where individually all the different insure tech companies fit into the stray. I think you are starting to see just a lot of people kind of pop up. And I think that's where Talage has been relatively successful in terms of getting insurance carriers to be excited about what we're doing is because we are kind of insurance first. We don't believe insurance is broken. We're not trying to disrupt the entire insurance industry. We think insurance carriers do an incredible job at what they do. Where I think they, you know, there's been a disconnect is just with the distribution channel. And so we focus on, and it's self-explanatory, right? I mean, you have agents that have moved up the distribution channel in terms of they're more focused on mid-market because it's essentially the same amount of work for them to write a $10,000 account as it is for them to write a $1,000 account. And so you have your traditional agents have really focused on that $10,000 account, which ironically, the insurance companies now with some of the technology that they've put in on their back end, it's much more profitable for them to write a $1,000 account. You have premium redundancies, you have obviously just from an efficiency standpoint, you don't have underwriters touching every single one of those. And so our pitch to the carriers is like, you know, keep writing the mid-market stuff with these, you know, with the brick and mortar agents, the relationships you've had for, you know, in some cases, you know, decades, keep those relationships in place. Just let us help you write more small business. Let's that churn business, that flow business, however each one of the carriers want to describe it. And it's low touch, it's no touch. Most, you know, 75% of them never have a claim, but it does make up a significant portion of their book of business. And so we want to make that more efficient, more profitable for the carriers.
Yeah, I have to say, as I engage with some of the agents across the industry as well, a lot of the agents, because of all of these advances and transformations that's been happening in their industry, you know, what they mentioned was, to your point, the effort is the same to go after, at least on the agency side, a large account or a minimum premium, let's say a $750 or $1,000 account. So what they started doing is foregoing even going after those smaller accounts unless they have a technology solution to enable them to effectively and efficiently capture those policyholders. You know, so they're not sending their producers after that anymore, as you might have seen historically in the past, because as soon as they touch it once, or even if they go after it that one time, it may all of a sudden become unprofitable. Oh, yeah.
And that's, well, I just wanted to jump on that. Like, I mean, with Wells Fargo, I think was a great learning experience for me because they were probably ahead of the curve in terms of, you know, they stopped paying producers on accounts that brought in these, you know, smaller, I think the number that they originally set was, you know, $5,000 in revenue, which obviously is more like $50,000 in premium, which is, you know, not necessarily that small of a business on, you know, on Main Street America. But, you know, and then they, you know, their solution to that problem was essentially create a very large call center. I think it was in Minneapolis, I believe, but someplace in the Midwest. And then, but even there, it still wasn't efficient because you just had agents on the phone all day long. And so I think that was kind of the first kind of aha moment for me was this business is valuable. It's valuable for a lot of reasons. You know, not just the dollar amount, but from a relationship standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. But they weren't able to do it in a way that made any sense. And really, we relied on the insurance companies to create these automated underwriting systems where we could create a front end technology to tap into them. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, so I thinking about the front end technologies that you all are creating, and I think absolutely that creates the ability to change the way that organizations acquire customers. Now, that's one segment of the transformations and innovations that we're seeing within the industry. You know, from your perspective, you know, what else are you seeing, and what other areas of the insurance value chain are you seeing there being opportunity to transform and innovate?
Yeah, I think, and it's not an area we're going into, but I think it's really interesting is kind of the guys like Lemonade and probably Next is a better example, right, in terms of the commercial space, or Pi. I mean, some of these other guys that are actually underwriting, I think they're doing some really interesting things. We believe there's greater room for innovation and greater room for bringing value at the agency level because we think that comparison piece is important in a lot of ways. It's not just the speed. I mean, the speed's really important, and we've seen even in scenarios where, you know, if a customer hits tallage from maybe an underserved geographic location and we're only able to offer them one quote, our conversion ratios are still higher than you would see it in a traditional agency, even though we're only offering one quote, if we can offer it in 30 seconds, right? And so, but I think some of these guys that are doing stuff on the carrier side are really exciting. I think if they can, you know, get access. I mean, the big thing is the data piece, right? And I've listened to a couple of your podcasts. And you've had a couple few people on the data piece in terms of the carriers owning the data, you know, them being able to capture from other third party sets. But I think if people can get algorithms, some machine learning in place in terms of understanding the claims history better, to better predict claims data and then lower premiums is really exciting. And we're staying close to a lot of those guys to eventually help them distribute their product in the same way we help a more traditional one that you think of anyway, insurance carrier distribute their product.
Yeah, so just keeping along those lines, you know, if you look across the industry, so right now you all are working in the P&C space, right? But in the insurance area, you know, of course there's life, health, there's retirement, and there's other things that can be considered. So just thinking outside of just P&C, number one, do you see there being other opportunities for transformation or change within this industry? And then also, does the future of Tollage also hold, you know, potential to go into some of these other industries within the insurance space?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I mean, we built Tollage to be purposely flexible. I mean, we kind of laughed when we first built it. I mean, we were building in features and kind of looking down a road, and it was like, I don't know if we'll ever get there. But you know, fortunately, we're at a point where we're actually getting there now, and we're glad we put that time in initially. And so the Tollage system itself has been built purposely flexible. You know, our goal is to, you know, be able to distribute to small businesses and sell small business insurance wherever small businesses are. But in terms of adding on products, doing different things like that, you know, we've allowed for those innovations to happen in the future and can integrate them relatively seamlessly into the Tollage system, or not, they will be seamless, but relatively easily into the Tollage system. And so I think there's a lot of space in terms of, there's a lot of bleed over, especially in the small business space, right? I mean, our customers are generally, you know, they've got 10, 20 employees, something like that, the restaurants, their retail, their lawyers, their offices, and their business life bleeds over into their personal life pretty closely. And so it's pretty easy for us. I mean, we're not dealing with CEOs and CFOs, we're dealing with owner operators, right? So, you know, if we can solve their problems on the business side, I think it's relatively easy for us to make a jump into, we can also solve your problems, you know, solve your problems is a little dramatic, but we can help you on your insurance with your business, with your homeowner's insurance, with whatever it happens to be. I think Tollage, you know, is touching a lot of small business owners in a way that makes a lot of sense for them to expand the relationship that way.
You know, so I definitely agree with that. And of course, the premise around, you know, being a place and a destination for small business owners to provide for the capabilities that they have, you know, that they need, I think that's absolutely important, especially as you start to think about sustainability of a business model and of the platform that you all are hoping to grow with what you all are doing as a part of your organization, but also engagement with other carriers. Now, as I think about a lot of the innovations and the things that we're seeing impact the industry today, you know, I truly see that, you know, some of these innovations are changing the traditional insurance model. And you talked a little bit about Lemonade earlier. And with Lemonade, you know, they are an organization that's determined to not only change insurance, but completely overhaul the way that customers engage with carriers, but also the expectations on the acquisition side, as well as the adjustment, the claim side, leveraging technology across the entire value chain. Now, you know, one thing that I say quite often is that, you know, a lot of these organizations, there's tons of them. I think the last statistic that I read was over the past 24 months, roughly about 1,000 new insurtech organizations has come into existence. And I can probably tell you that next year, while that number might be a little bit higher than 1,000, the names are probably not going to be the same. So, you know, just thinking about that, you know, from your perspective, number one, how can these insurtechs ensure that they could be around in the future in order to help to augment the insurance value chain versus only disrupting it? And what things would you say for them to be able to grow their organization so that they become an institution like some of these bigger carriers like a Travelers, and not one that's going to be going to the wayside like a Gathar?
Yeah, absolutely. And InsurTech is interesting, right? And you've seen this, you know, firsthand in your, you know, activities in the industry. And I think InsurTech encompasses so much, right? I mean, we've, you know, coming up on the InsurTech Connect convention in October. You know, we've been good. This will be the third year we've gone to that now, and we've seen it kind of evolved. But you see, I mean, insurance is so broad, right? You have drone companies who can help insurance companies, you know, monitor roofs after a hailstorm, or, you know, you have all these, and you have distribution plays, you have data plays, you have all these different things that all, you know, loosely, or not even loosely, but, you know, broadly tied to the insurance industry. And so InsurTech, I feel like, is a relatively, not even relatively, it's a very, very broad description of companies. And I think you need to really, if you just say you're an insurtech, it doesn't really say that much about what you actually do. But yeah, in terms of these guys going, I think that's okay. I mean, if you look at the insurance industry in general, you know, as a kind of historian of the insurance industry, and you see the carriers, you've seen, you know, the reinsurance companies, you've seen, even at the agency level, these guys find niches that make sense for them. And the insurance industry is so big. It's one of the few, you know, true trillion-dollar industries in the world. And you have these niches where you can build, you know, multi-hundred-million-dollar empires, billion-dollar empires with a relatively small niche. And so you've seen traditional carriers do this. You've seen agencies do this where they can peel off and they just, hey, we're going to write all the best, you know, road and street contractors on the West Coast, and you can build an incredible business model using just that strategy. And so I think for insurtechs, as they get out there to think about, don't let the word niche kind of frighten you away. You know, we go out, we call ourselves, you know, a niche player going after small business insurance, which is, you know, depending upon the market you're looking at, somewhere around, you know, $100 billion market nationwide. And so it's a big enough niche where I think it makes sense. And so, you know, advice to insurance technology guys that are getting in the space is don't be afraid to find a niche and be the best at that niche and really kind of carve it out, because in the insurance industry, these niches are so large that you can build a great business model off of them.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. You know, I just remember a couple of, I think this was actually late last year. You know, I went to a conference in Boston, and at that conference, you know, of course, I, on a daily, I have an opportunity to speak to a lot of insurtechs. But you know, there was one that I spoke to that was hoping to transform policy administration systems and then provide for a different sort of a capability. Now they've been around for some time, but before the what I call the insurtech phenomenon, they didn't classify themselves as an insurtech, and they were going after funding, and they weren't able to get funding earlier on. So, you know, right before that conference, they were there to announce that they closed on a seed round. And one of the things that this founder said was, you know, the reason why he felt they were able to quickly close or more quickly close on this round was because of the insurtech phenomenon, where now there's a lot of funding out there that a lot of these newer organizations are going after. You know, what sort of turned my thoughts a different way, though, was his goal for the organization wasn't really to transform the industry, but what he wound up saying was that he was hoping to build something that can then at some point be sold to a different organization. Now, to me, you know, what that tells me is you're not really working for the people that we're serving, and that's the policyholders. So, you know, just thinking about what that founder said, you know, from your perspective, how would you feel about that, especially as, you know, knowing that the insurtech umbrella is broad, but knowing that not everyone is out there to really serve the needs of our policyholders? You know, I'd just love to get your thoughts on how you feel about that being the case with some of the insurtechs that are out there.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, good and bad, right? In terms of these VCs getting more excited about it, you know, there's obviously a great benefit. It opens up capital to people who are trying to do some really great things. The bad part is it also attracts people who are just looking for capital, right? And so you kind of have these traditional tech guys and girls, don't want to discriminate, but, you know, that are have been in the tech industry before. Maybe they've had other startups, maybe they've been a part of other startups, and they, you know, they get into the cycle of, you know, raising capital and selling because it's been such a traditional kind of Silicon Valley, you know, model. And so I think you're going to see, as the insurtech kind of, you know, comes into mainstream, and, or, you know, as it has been coming into mainstream anyway, I think it's already there, but as it has been, it's going to also attract, you know, disingenuous may not be the right word, but people with different motives, right? And so I think as a carrier, as a business owner, and as an insurtech ourselves, we need to kind of keep an eye on, you know, the companies that are doing it. I think an easy one, and this is obviously a fairly self-serving comment, but, you know, companies that have teams with founders, or founder teams anyway, however they are, that have insurance experience, I think is a pretty easy one to kind of spot. Guys that are coming out of the industry, people who know, you know, firsthand some of the problems on the carrier side, on the agency side, on the claim side, who have seen firsthand some of these issues, I think those are always they're at least more well-intentioned, right? And maybe well-informed about what the real problem is. And you have to understand the industry too, because it's, you kind of trigger my mind a little bit earlier when you were talking about new ones coming out. And we met with, a couple guys that were, you know, like, we're going to do, you know, small business insurance on blockchain. And it's like, okay, maybe. And maybe there is a legitimate application for that. But I mean, you're dealing with a current state where carriers essentially are still debating the pros and cons of taking credit cards for payments, right? And so we're not quite at a blockchain. Like, you've got to understand the incremental improvements in the industry. And so I think if you're going to launch a blockchain insurance distribution platform right now, I think you'd have a really hard time. And so you have to understand kind of where we're at today and where we're going and what makes sense. And you just can't throw every hot Silicon Valley buzzword at the insurance industry and expect it to stick.
You know, I definitely, you know, and you're absolutely right. There's a lot of organizations out there that they are sort of hinging on to some of these buzzwords and trying to use that as the premise to innovate some areas of the industry. But of course, there has to be a problem that's being solved before it can be distributed or before it could be something that's integrated into the space. So, hey, you know, Adam, I want to ask a question about Tollage. You know, so what exactly is in the name Tollage, and what does it mean, and how did you guys choose that for your organization? I know there's a history behind that, and I'd love to share that with the audience.
Yeah. And so, you know, part of the reason was we wanted to have a fun name, right? We wanted to feel new. And so we wanted kind of one of these, as much as I kind of bagged on the Silicon Valley thought process a minute ago, we wanted to kind of have one of these Silicon Valley names. And so when we were, you know, kind of digging through what we were doing, it was really important for us as we were kind of mapping through business models. And we talk all the time, my co-founder, Matt Donovan, and I, you know, before we brought in Zachary, our third co-founder on the tech side, that he and I sat down, he's kind of the brains of the operation, and UCLA, Cornell MBA, you know, all the credentials you want to have in a co-founder. And so we sat and did business models for a long time about, you know, could we be a carrier? Could we be, you know, something else? Could we be an MGA model? Some of these different things that are out there. And we really settled on, we thought the greatest value was at the agency side. And so we're like, well, let's just build a digital agency. And so we took the TAL out of digital and the AGE out of agency and kind of dropped the ends and smushed the middle together and came up with Tollage. And most of the time, I'm pretty happy with it. We get all kinds of pronunciations. We get Tollage sometimes. We got Tollaggy one time. I thought it was an interesting one. That didn't make a lot of sense to me, but Tollage. And we're completely committed to kind of that agency model. We want to help carriers sell their product. And we think the agency model was and will continue to be the best way to do that.
Absolutely. You know, so Adam, you know, one of the questions that I always ask, you know, just to make what you and I are talking about here tangible to the listeners of this podcast is, you know, if there are, is anyone across the industry that's listening to us, and if they're looking to change what they're doing and innovate within their own space and change the status quo, you know, what advice would you give them to be able to do just that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the problem in the insurance industry, you kind of have this classic innovator's dilemma, right? Where, you know, people are making money. Essentially, the channel worked. Insurance companies made money. Agencies made money. Small businesses, you know, broadly speaking, not that there weren't one-off issues, but broadly speaking, they had their claims covered. You know, generally it worked. And so I think that's why you saw insurance be kind of late to the insurance game or the innovation game in a sense. Not to say that insurance has always been innovating on the back end. I think people kind of sell it short a little bit. But I think you just kind of, you know, not be afraid to kind of challenge that status quo. We, you know, when I was at Employers Insurance, and they've been an incredible partner of ours, but when I was actually working for them, and it was probably a couple years too early, but I went to them with the idea of, well, you know, what if we just went direct? You know, it's hard getting these agents to sell small business insurance. And so I kind of put together a proposal and sent it to some of the senior management, and they essentially pushed back and were like, this is never going to work. Everybody wants to talk to their agent. And we always laughed that they sound just like the Blockbuster CEO when he was like, you know, people love coming into our store to buy movies. And it's like, you missed the point. Like, they like their movies. They don't care about your store. And so they like your policy. They don't care about the process. They want to have your policy. And so, I would just challenge the norms and, you know, kind of don't get settled into, you know, this has always worked because it's always worked kind of mindset. But I mean, there's so much room for innovation in insurance, and it's an exciting time. I think, you know, we'll all look back on this and it'll be kind of a fun thing to, you know, to say you were a part of the insurtech revolution as it was happening, you know, years from now.
Absolutely. You know, so, hey, Adam, you know, I just want to say thank you for taking time to sit with me and talk to me about Tileage, your value proposition, and also just things that you're seeing in the industry. So, you know, if listeners wanted to get in contact with you or learn more about what you all are doing, you know, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, the easiest way is obviously we're at TileageInsurance.com. Obviously, check out the website. We've got all the contact forms on there. You can call our direct line. It's 1-833-4-TALLAGE. So it's pretty simple to get in touch with us, and you know, happy to talk, obviously, as Tallage, and then even just as Adam, in the industry. And you know, we're always looking to network with other insurtechs and other innovators out there. I think there's a lot of ways where you know, we're a little company that's going up against you know, some very, very large institutions. And I don't want to say we're going up against them. That's not the right word. But we're, you know, we're working with them. And so we're not going to make it on our own. And so we need to partner with some of these very large companies and other insurtechs to, you know, to figure out this industry and take a bite of this thing.
Absolutely. So, hey, Adam, you know, once again, thank you. I definitely appreciate having you on. Hopefully, you know, the listeners are going to get a lot out of what you and I spoke about here today. And, you know, I'm just hopeful to continue to watch what Tileage is doing in this space.
Thanks, Abel. Appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast. Now, as always, if this is your first time listening or if you haven't done so already, hit the subscribe button in whatever platform you're using to get the episodes automatically to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever you use to listen to this podcast. So, you know, thanks again for listening to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted. And as always, we'll see you next week.